Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول
Six minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, of course, our beloved senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. We welcome him as well. And we welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM and, of course, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. Remember, 084-786-3132, international overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's the 12th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443. We welcome you to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Arafat, jazakumullahu khairan.
Ustad, before we start with the bliss of marriage, I've got a message for you, Ustad, from the Dokrats in Lodium. Dear Mufti Sab, this is really, really getting bad. Almost every week, an incident. Now it's Lal Killa's daughter, 8 or 9 years old. We should rally our communities and take demands for assistance in this regard to the SEPs. We are soft targets, Mufti Sab, and it's becoming a trend. Allah Ta'ala make it easy. And dear Mufti Sab, police inefficiencies are contributing to the problem. These gangs are running amok. International law enforcement must also be brought in. Our beloved dear Ustad, from the Dokrats in Lodium, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the Dokrat family, we say jazakumullahu khairan. I echo your sentiments, but I have to add 3-4 other points as well. So number one, we as Muslims have become soft targets, to use your word. That there is no escape from. That we all accept that, because we ourselves should do and take stock of ourselves. How much are we doing to connect ourselves to Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala? So remember, one is asbab, the means. Your politicians, your police, everything else, security guards, alarm, all. One is musabbibul asbab. One is the khaliq and the creator. So we ourselves, are we really reading 5 daily salat? Or do we pay our zakat? Do we really bother about Islam? Or are we just part-time Muslim? وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, remember 90% of the time is because of your own deeds. There is action and reaction. There is cause and this effect. Sometimes the people are doing their best, but remember that then it's a trial and a test from Almighty Allah, but majority of the time it is a minor punishment so that we take lesson and come back to the path which Allah has chalked out for us. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that's one point we must never forget. Always come back to our deen of Islam, and everything is under the control and mercy of Almighty Allah. That's one. Now we come to the means. Let us be honest about this. Can we put our reliance on our politicians, in our ministers and so forth? From top to bottom, this corruption, and it has permeated the entire society. Next one, can we really rely on the police? So we can't. We must remember that. So the police today, majority of them are corrupted as well. So what do we do? So we have to connect ourselves to Almighty Allah, and we the Muslims especially, because we are the major targets now. Masum children, our Moti children, they came back after 3 weeks, Allah's fazl. Now Lal Killa's son or daughter, so his daughter, I think,
Jusa's daughter.
Daughter, yeah. So she is now kidnapped, Allah forbid. So there we know about Maulana Tahsin, he's kidnapped. Our brother Salim Tayyab is kidnapped.
Allah.
So all you just see are Muslims. And remember, I was the other time in the Intriqat, they told me in Potter's room, they hijacked, kidnapped a person, and then they realized it was the wrong person. Then they released him. So everywhere you see, it's happening. So we must rally our people 100%, and we must be prepared as well, and our women folk as well. So how do we prepare ourselves? Remember that we have our own security, our own neighborhood watch and so forth. But let us be honest. Now is November. December will come. You know, in December crime spikes and people will be going for holiday here and there and everywhere. So therefore we need to act now and take all the means we have that are within the law. We never promote that violence, people must just start shooting and so forth. No, we don't promote that. We will say within the ambit of the law that we need to ensure that we have our own neighborhood watch, we have our own security and so forth. But the problem with us, we need to be honest about these issues. We will do for 1 week, 3 weeks, 1 month, then holidays will come, December will come, and the long weekends will come, Christmas, New Year, then you see 90% the people are gone. Here and there, then everything falls flat. So there must be consistency in whatever we do, and do so for the love of Almighty Allah, then there will be barakah and blessing. We cry, we beg, we petition Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, Ya Allah, bring back our daughter, back to her family, bring back our Maulana, back to his family, bring back our brother Salim Tayyab to his family, and Ya Allah, protect us all. We make dua for everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim. Fallahu khayrun hafidha, Surah 12, verse 64. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He is the best protector and the most merciful one to show mercy. At least this much, you parents, elders, teach your children and flowers. Whenever they leave a home, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. See, I give you an easy example. That today I'm the one to tell people here in Lanesia that don't go alone to the graveyard and cemetery. Now imagine to go to the graveyard cemetery, our father, mother, brother, sister, son, wife, whoever, daughter, husband is buried there. And you know, for the females we're speaking now, their husband. So in a case like that, we will tell the man, don't go alone, because the crime is beyond control, out of control. So it's an indictment, remember this, upon the politicians, our law enforcement. So may Almighty Allah envelop us in His mercy.
Anonymous says, Ustad, I lost my husband due to COVID. We were married for 10 years. We are told not to speak ill of the dead. I don't even know if I should say, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. I recently found out of all the affairs that he had been having from his phone messages and calls from the mistresses. I am so angry, Mufti Sahab, and feel resentful and betrayed. I even stopped reading for him. How do I move on and forgive and forget? Ustad, Anonymous.
Sister, I always tell you, my sister, my brother, if you want our help, our 2 cents worth, and you want the help of Almighty Allah, then we need to be honest as well. So he committed his crimes, everything. He passed away. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tasubbul amwat. Don't curse and swear those who are dead. Fa innahum qad afdaw ila ma qaddamu. They have already reach the year after. Open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations, you will find the hadith. So you, my sister, you will be with the same husband of yours in Jannah. So leave what the Satan and your ego is telling you. I stop praying for him. Say, Ya Allah, that I also remember the good moments we shared. And yes, he had many, many weaknesses and many, many crimes he committed. But our out of your grace, your mercy, forgive him, Ya Allah. So you and your children, my sister, you must be reading Surah 14, verse 41. Allah Jalla Wala is Sattar. Today, this morning when I left here, I went for Fajr Salat. And then the Imams have read one verse, so Allah put in my head. So then I gave this talk there, every day, 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, I give a talk. I said, brothers, Allah is Sattar. What is the meaning of Sattar? Allah covers and conceals. Every one of us, we have skeletons, we have sins, we have vices, everything. Ya Allah, make Sattari cover and conceal our vices, our sins. Ya Allah, more so on the day of Qiyamah. So, Allahumma stur awratina wa amin rawatina. See, the Dokrat family, others, all are asking the question. See this dua, how it will help us. Allahumma stur awratina. Ya Allah, our shame, our vices, our sins, you cover and conceal it. Wa amin rawatina. Ya Allah, this fear we are going through, grant us safety, grant us security. So you, my sister, you must leave your ego and your desires and the satanic whisperings and so forth. Read Surah chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. You got children, grandchildren, tell them all to read. رَبَّنَا فِلِّي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents, forgive the believers, the day the reckoning is established. Read Quran Sharif for him, read 2 rakat salat daily, give out some charity. So do that, inshallah. You ask Allah for his forgiveness, Allah will forgive him, Allah will forgive you also.
Ustaz, listener says, I bought a house and a car, etc. As my husband was disabled and could never work, he passed away. Now his family is claiming my house and car as theirs. The house and car was on his name just before he became disabled. I paid off the entire bond for both items over 25 years. Who does my stuff belong to? Anonymous angry sister, Ustad.
Remember that what they will do, that is your husband's family. So the husband, now we need to get this issue but clear, who are the real heirs here? So remember, if his parents are alive, so they definitely will inherit. You as the wife, you will inherit 12.5%. Your children must inherit, sons and daughters, ratio 2-1. If you have a son, then remember that his siblings, his brothers, sisters, none of them will inherit. So you must be clear on that issue there. But his parents definitely will inherit. So that's one side. Second side, they will use the law and they will say the title deeds and so forth of the house, the car papers are on his name, so therefore it belongs to him. So you got your documentary evidence and so forth, but you paid off the car, you paid off the house, all that. So if you paid off the majority, the bulk of it, so it belongs to you proportionately. So you tell them, fine, that let's just take example, let's make it round figures. The car is 100,000, the house is 100,000, so you paid off 75,000. So on the car you owe them 25,000, the house you owe them 25,000. I'm just using easy figures. So you pay them out that amount, and the house and the car, everything belong to you. But you must remember, for them to claim the whole house and take the car, all that is totally haram and not permissible. And Quran Sharif is very clear on this issue. You must show them Surah 4, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. If you do things properly according to Sharia, Dhalikal Fawzul Azim, that is the supreme success. And you go and usurp the rights. Now that is what they're going to do and try and do according to your question. You are a female, you got small children, maybe they will get one sharpshoot lawyer and they will try and intimidate you that, see, the car is on the husband's name, the house is on his name and so forth. So you must show everything of yours and they will try and then usurp your rights. So Quran speaks of this, Surah chapter 4, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, who does obeys Almighty Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding inheritance, distance, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, and they go beyond the limit. They take away what is your share, your children's share. They usurp your rights. يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, then Almighty Allah will dispatch them to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very, very long time. خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for such a person, there will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. My advice to you, sister, your husband passed away, you have to be in iddat 130 days. First and foremost, ensure the burial funeral expenses are paid. His debts are paid. Remember, personal, corporate debts, whatever, business debts. Wasiya, if he bequeathed to somebody who's not an heir, and then the shares of the heir. We don't know, but I'll just give you the rundown, that if his parents are alive, then you will inherit 12.5%. His parents, 1/6, 1/6. The remainder will go to your children, from him obviously, and remember that will be ratio 2-1. One son, one daughter, the residue remainder, so you make 3 parts, 2 for the son, 1 for the daughter. His father or mother, one is alive, one is passed away, so your share 12.5%. Whoever is alive from his parents, 1/6, and remainder residue for your children, ratio 2-1. But make sure that they don't take that car and house away from you when you paid for it, according to your question, the major portion. So rather you pay them out what is left, the balance, and that will be the easiest way to solve this problem.
I see the sister saying she's got 3 daughters who start, and now they got a lawyer involved. This idiot lawyer, they only after the money, dear Mufti Sab. Can Mufti Sab maybe refer me to your lawyers, Ustad? The mother is very upset.
Remember, sister, if you only got 3 daughters, so what will happen is, and just tell me, are his parents alive or not? So your father-in-law, mother-in-law, are they alive or not?
Mother-in-law, Ustad.
So mother-in-law. So now in a case like that, it's very straightforward. So what will happen is that you, as the wife, you will inherit 12.5%. And then she, that is her, the deceased mother, so she is alive, so she will get 1/6, just under 17%. And then the 2/3 will go, remember, to who? To your daughters. So that are the shares. That it will work like that. But remember, I told you before that they will try and get a smart lawyer and somebody like that. So obviously that, you know, these are personal issues that you will have to get the lawyer and so forth. It's not that we know lawyers. Lawyers don't just come free. Everybody will charge. So what you have to do, sister, is wherever you are, speak to the Jamaat, speak to some people, they're influential people. Maybe they can get somebody to help you out, inshallah.
Sister says, dear Honorable Mufti Sahab, is arranged marriages permitted in Islam? Where are our choices? I'm 47 years old, Ustad, not married.
So you must remember, from time immemorial, by arranged marriages we mean that the parents of both parties get involved and then you get married. So we don't allow dating and smooching and all these things, going out and having coffee here and there. So all that, didn't you hear yesterday what they told? They said in our schools, South African schools, that more than 200,000 children in the primary sector, so what we call that grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, all that, more than 200,000, remember, left school. They're not interested, or poverty, or whatever the reason. And then they gave the breakdown of how many thousand of them became pregnant and so forth. So that is what Islam says. You give the poison, you inject the poison, and then you expect shifa and cure. It's not going to happen. This whole Western system, economically, socially, politically, is a cursed system. You must remember that. You, my sister, the way I understand your question, if you did not get proposal, or you, your parents said no, if you got proposal for whatever reason, now you start thinking that no, arranged marriages are not working. No, you can't be painting everybody. We all got married. How? Arranged marriage. I never knew my wife. I never spoke to her. Nothing. We got married. We are strangers. And thereafter, you must remember, Allah Ta'ala brings the love, brings the mercy, brings the understanding. That is the promise of Allah. أَنَ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So you will get sukoon, peace, tranquility. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. Thereafter Allah will bring the love. There Allah will bring the mercy. So that is what Islam teaches us. Not the satanic system that now we must date, go to the movies, go here, go there. So all that is haram. And next message to you, sister. Why are you losing hope in the mercy of Allah? Chapter 39, verse 53. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah forgive all the sins. So keep on reading Surah 25, chapter 25, verse 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. I know in my family that sometime a lady passed away or something, and then he, the uncle or the person, got married to a lady 40 years old, 50 years old, and so forth, and see how good and happy they were, and so forth. So never think negatively of Allah. Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. His authentic hadith. His hadith Qudsi. Remember this. I will treat my servant as he thinks of me.
SubhanAllah. I see the sister says, dear Mufti Sahab, it's not about all that. It's about wealth. We're very wealthy. So my daddy and them, they're looking for a good gurak. He said, I don't know if Mufti Sahab speaks Cockney. I'm Cockney, so maybe Mufti Sahab should bring a Memon boy, then maybe it will be on their choices to start. Kurak means customer, Ustad.
Yes, I know that. So you must remember that. So what happens is that when we give our traditions, our customs preference over to Islam, then we bring musibat ourselves. So what is the, according to you, we answer the questions as the questions are posed. So what is the criteria, my sister, according to you, regarding your parents, that the wealth, financial status is the criteria, deen and character, all that doesn't feature on the radar at all. So when you ask that, so that's a problem you're going to have. So you must remember that. So that is very, very wrong. Islamically, it is zulam and haram that for parents to do that, and they are causing harm to their daughter by doing that, you must remember. So we will say, you must ask Almighty Allah, give me a pious husband, Ya Allah, and he got wealth and looks and what have you. So that will be nurun ala nur, inshallah.
I see. The listener says, let me tell you, Mufti Saab, my wife falsely accuses me of having a fling with my neighbor. My neighbor is a widow and she's 68 years old, Mufti Saab. I am 28 years old and I take my neighbor for her weekly shopping. She's fit to be my grandmother. Am I wrong by following hadith in this manner by serving my neighbor? I'm tired, Ustad.
Yes, but 100% you're wrong. You must remember you're 28 and she's 68. Sometime hella's old, mamni kotini, my buta. So you must remember they're old, but they're not cold. The way I understand your question, so you tell her, oh neighbor, come, we're going shopping. So you're 28 and she's 68 and you're alone. So what can happen in the car? You can soften her up. So many things can happen and all that. So therefore, your wife is 100% justified. You must remember on objecting. You quoting out of context, my brother. We must take care of our neighbor, but we don't take care of our neighbor in a haram manner. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yakhluwanna rajulun bimra'atin illa wa thalithuhuma ash-shaytan." Never does it happen you have a male and a female. You are the male and she's the female, and you got nothing to do with one another. You're not the nephew, you're not the son, you're not the brother, you are total strangers. But the third party there will be shaitan. So whether you're young or old is not the criteria. So you are totally in the wrong way Islamically, and your wife is 100% right. So if you got so much feeling for your neighbor, so tell her that she must give the list of her shopping, everything, to your wife. And when you and your wife go for shopping, then you go bring all the things for her. So that's the way of of doing it. Not you tell her, oh, my poppy neighbor, let's we go for a spin. Wife, you sit quietly here. On some rechmach, we will see tonight and all that. How can that ever be justified, my brother? You totally incorrect, and don't quote hadith out of context. It's very, very serious. Man kadaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu minan nar. The hadith is mutawatir, is 100% sahih. If a person rejects this one hadith out of the fall of Islam, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad. So remember, whoever lies against me deliberately and he turns and twists the hadith for his own ulterior motives, he must reserve and prepare his seat in Jahannam and the Hellfire.
Allahu Akbar. Listen to this one, Ustad. It's a revered sister. She says, has Allah ordained us wives to be the servants to our husbands? I'm a widow, a revered sister, 37 years old, dear Muftisab. 90% my husband spends time with his sheikh. And he says, tell your Mufti AK, it is their haq to make khidmat of the sheikh. Shuyukh, Ustad, a revered sister.
Sister, I really, really sympathize with you. These are the people who are dwallu wa adwallu. They are gone astray and they lead others astray. So you must remember that. Let's break up your question. Number one, you are Christian, whatever. You embrace Islam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You made the right decision. Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, special mercy is with you. And Almighty Allah states, قل للذين كفروا ينتهوا يغفر لهم ما قد سلف. They tell the non-Muslims, once they abstain from their blasphemy and shirk and polytheism, embrace Islam, so the sins they committed against Allah are forgiven. And this is Quran chapter number 8 and verse number 38. So that's the first point you must write down. Chapter 8, verse number 38. Second authentic hadith, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Amr bin As radiallahu an, and remember Khalid bin Walid and all of them, the hadith in Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, and various compilations. Inna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Verily, Islam erases, expunges the sins of the past. So that is the first point. Second point, you got married, maybe thinking this person, mashallah, that he's a good Muslim, and so forth and so on. So his allegiance is more to his sheikh. And remember then to Almighty Allah and to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the sheikh told him that, then that sheikh himself is jahil. You must remember that. That sheikh himself, if he told him to do that, don't worry about your wife and all that. You must worry about me. You must spend 80-90% year of the time by me and spend 5-10-15%. Then that sheikh there, if you are quoting correctly, remember he himself is ignorant of Sharia. So remember these type of things. Ask your husband that what is the meaning of Surah 4 verse 19. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That treat your wives with love, with equity and justice and respect. The example I give is always this. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, your husband treat your wife better than that. You understood that, sister? That answers your question. In Islam, husband-wife relationship is not master-slave relationship. That the Muslims of today, because of their ignorance and jahalat, they think like that. But that's not Islam. Islam says, Surah 2, verse 187, Hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahun. That you are the garments for one another. So it's a partner. Allah is teaching. Yes, the Amir, the captain of that partnership will be the husband. That is 100%. But to say he's a master slave, no, Islam rejects that. You are the Amir, oh husband. You are not the Amir. You see, our people don't understand the Quranic terminology and hadith. They will turn it, twist it to suit their own whims and fancies. So you must ask your husband and that crooked sheikh of his if he taught him all these kind of things. What Nabi alayhi salam said, authentic hadith, and Mother Aisha Siddiqa, she said, خيارukum, خيارukum li ahlikum. خيرukum, خيرukum li ahlikum. You find different types of words in a hadith, but the meaning remains the same. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and children. Wa ana khayrukum li ahli. I am the best to my wives and my children. He didn't say the best of you to your sheikhs. So the best of you to the murids. No. The best of you, when you sit in the company of the Ahlullah, when you sit in the company of the Khasan-e-Khuda, the real Awliya-Ullah, not these paza chaps we got today, you must remember that their aim is to enrich themselves. They got woman murid, they were worried about, can they take a second wife or third wife? You must. I don't say all shares, I'm speaking of these crooked ones. And if they got the men, they're not looking at how they can make them a better Muslim, they're looking at their pocket, how they can get money out of them. So remember, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah Khan Sahib, Nawwalallahu Marqadahu, used to say, and I heard him saying this many a time in Jalalabad also, and here in South Africa also he said it. So he passed away in 1992. Mader Radwali he was. So remember that Hazrat Ji used to say, that explaining this hadith, by Allah, the barometer criteria is this, that when your wife and children are pleased with you, then Allah and Allah Jalla Wala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are pleased with you. And if people are pleased with you, your sheikh is pleased with you, this one is pleased with you, but your wife and children are not pleased with you, then Allah Jalla Wala and Nabi Alayhi Salaam are also displeased with you. That is what Islam teaches. So you, my sister, what they are doing, they are exploiting you because you are a revered sister. They will tell you, no, you don't understand Islam. And therefore, he will tell you a foolish thing. You go tell Mufti AK like this and that. He wants to manipulate you and exploit the situation. Both of them, dwallu wa dwallu, both jahil and ignorant. You must remember that. They must answer what is the Quran and what is the hadith and what is awliyaullah. So that is what Islam is teaching us.
I see the sister says he's listening to you, dear Mufti Sahib, and he's getting a fit because you are speaking haq. And the question he posed to you is that, ask Mufti AK, did not the Sahaba leave their wives and go and make khidmat to Prophet Muhammad? And what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam when he left his wife in the desert? Ask Mufti to answer, Ustad.
So you must remember that are Anbiya and Prophets and Messengers since when you became a Nabi. So you must remember that no one ever said that you must leave your wives and all this type of thing, that the Sharia keeps on changing. Our Sharia is Quran Sharif. Our Sharia is Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, when the Sahaba sometime were going in jihad, he asked them, your parents are alive? He said, yes. He said, go make khidmat of your parents. That is what Nabi alayhi salam said. So brother, you distorting the whole thing here, and you are practicing on total jahalat. Let me be honest with you. I don't know your wife, I don't know you, I don't know your sheikh. But if what you are saying and your wife is saying, that you spend 80-90% of your time with your sheikh, neglecting your wife, then that is jahalat, absolutely. It's got no place in Islam. And if you ask me, it's better you cut off contact with the sheikh.
One more question, Ustad, before we go for the interval. I see the brother says we'll contact you after the program, Ustad.
No need to contact me, brother. So we finish, we don't give advice, this and so forth. You go and contact the ulama. I told you all yesterday or the other day, there are so many sheikhs here in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Maulana Dawood Siddat is there in Maritzburg. Mufti Saleh Ji is there. And here in Transvaal, Gauteng side, you go, Abdul Hamid Saab is there. Mm-hmm. Moshabir Salud Ji is there. And a lot of others also. So go contact them and no one will give you that advice that 90% you must come here by me and 10% spend by your wife. None of them will tell you that.
Okay? My husband snores too much, Mufti Saab. We live in a two-room house and my daughter stays in her own room, but we can't sleep at all. Can my husband sleep in his car outside? We don't have a garage. It is summer now, Ustad.
And then what will happen? Then what will happen to husband-wife relationship? You will see the car moving just now. So you must remember all this. How can you ever think of a thing like this? The problem is not the car. The problem is not the house. The problem is the snoring. So you got two bedrooms, one for you, husband, wife, and one for the daughter. So we have to solve the snoring problem. So you know, you go to the doctors, you got special, I forget their name, you know, they were the doctors you have. When I went to America, so I still had a good laugh from head to toe. In 2000, I went for Taraweeh, to perform Taraweeh there in Hagerstown, you know, Medina to Hajar. And it was in Maryland, just 10-15 minutes from Camp David. Anyway, so that, so I asked him, what you are? He said, dermatologist. I said, what you are? Pharmacologist. What you are? Ologist. So I said in my lecture, the only ologist I never saw here is a zoologist. So head to toe, everybody is an expert, is a specialist in all this type of thing. So these chefs, so these doctors who are specialists with sleeping disorders and snoring, they got special name for them. Like they get dermatologists, you know, for the skin and so forth. So, and oncologists for the cancer and so. So you go to them and solve the problem. You are going to solve the problem there. You see what's happening in South Africa. They hijack you and your car. Then you'll be left without the father, without the husband. So that's not the solution. Solution is, and you husband, you must go for some medication. You can't be snoring so much that your wife can't sleep and your daughter can't sleep and so forth. So remember, maybe you must read Aitul Kursi and Four Fools, and you blow on him, inshallah. Then that will be a powerful taweez, and his snoring also stop, inshallah.
Ibai is laughing from the angel Ustad. Well, it's exactly now, it's 17 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. 0847863132. A listener wants to know, Ustad, that how do we become a member of Darul Iman? Yesterday you announced that we should send our numbers to you, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, mashallah. Regarding our website, we have three different websites, and you should go to them, and mashallah, they updated very often and so forth, all with the mercy of all Almighty Allah. We are Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So www.markaz.sahaba. Then .com. So that is Markaz Sahaba website. You go there. And mashallah, that if you want to send questions now also, 0847863132. And inshallah, Mawlana Arafat will pose that question, and we'll answer with the help and mercy of Allah. Second one is my personal website, Mufti A.K. Hussain, MuftiAkhoosen.net. So you go, there are a lot of things there you will find also, mashallah. So we thank Almighty Allah for His ever-recurring bounties, favors that He showers upon us. Hada min faldi Rabbi, hada rahmatu min Rabbi. The Quran teaches us that we should say these words. So Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam said, hada min faldi Rabbi, Zulqarnain Rahimahullah said, remember, hada rahmatum min Rabbi, the mercy and grace of Almighty Allah. So Mufti A.K. Hussain.net. And then Darul Iman, www.darule, not the I-E, darulemaan.co.za. So Darul Iman Koza. So that will be our website. You want to become a member, brother, sister, South African, beyond the borders of South Africa, anybody, everything is in confidence. So, and confidential, remember that. We don't send it out to anybody. So 084-786-3130. 084-786-3130. You just send your name, send the area, the country where you are, send an email or send a WhatsApp number or so. So in that way we can communicate if a need arises and so forth. And then automatically you are the member. So Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. So that is what we promote, and we stand for the Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. And remember, we don't curry favor with any person, any organization, or any politician or government. That is our stance. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
I see Hazrat Mulana Khalid Yaqub from Markaz Sahaba. He says, tell Mufti Saab, the snoring husband must visit the local Taweez Chacha. Ustad.
So that's why I told them, Mawlana Khalid, nice one. that the wife must read Ayatul Kursi and the four kulls. But Maulana gave another one that you must go to the Taweez Chacha. So the Taweez Chacha will charge you also something. Because these Taweez guys, some of them, they know the weakness, you know. And then, so you'll have to pay them. So therefore, we don't encourage that too much.
Ustad, listen to this question here. Someone says here that one Shia said to them, to the family, that Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sod, it refers to Karbala. Is that authentic, Ustad?
Yesterday, you must remember, some ulama sent it to me and so forth and so on. It's gone viral, I see. So first point, we must remember, Shias are kuffar, first thing. And we don't apologize for that. We say 100% loudly and clearly, Shias are kuffar. If you want to break it up, let me see the time. Yeah, I have time. Let's take Quran, Quran. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 6,236 verses. Their book Usulul Kafi by Kulaini. So it's written there 17,000 verses. So what happens? Already you are rejecting the Quran, which came from Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, over the ages and so forth and so on. Say no, that Quran is there by the 12th Imam in the cave. So you must, all these are fairy tales, is kufr. Number two, they reject and curse and swear the Sahaba and the greatest Sahaba. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, all of them are non-Muslim. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So imagine that who Allah says we must follow, they say they are non-Muslim. Surah 9, verse 100, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوان. So if you read any Shia kitab that speaks on this topic, you will see they say irtaddu wa kafaru, Allah forbid. Majority sahaba became murtad and kafir, Allah forbid. Allah says, chapter 57 verse 10, wa kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. So number one, Quran different. Number two, sahaba they reject. Number three, 90% of the hadith Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, all, they reject. If you take Sahaba out, how are you going to accept the hadith? They will only accept the hadith that fulfills their hidden agenda and ulterior motive. They'll tell you, you don't know. In Tirmidhi, it comes that wa Fatima to Sayyida to Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is the leader of the women in Jannah. So when it suits their desires, they will quote our books. But they reject it totally. Remember that. Because Sahaba to them are non-Muslim, Allah forbid. Three. Fourth one, I challenged them so many times. I debated with them in South Africa, debated with them in Iran. So everywhere with Allah's fadl, we already defeated them. And they know who they are. Yeah, they debated with Husseini, Shia, and there I debated with Safiyullah. So he was there in 2013, 15 years already. He's a big ayatullah and what I asked him did. So he's a big sheikh there. So anyway, you must be, and they both admitted they got defeated. So, and people who allow mut'ah, prostitution, Khomeini la'anahullah, yeah, Allah's curse be on him, la'anahullah means that. He says in Tawdi'ul Masail that you can make mut'ah for 1 hour. Even the non-Muslims, they laugh at that. They tell them this is 100% prostitution. So now what he said, that person, that so-called sheikh of the Shias, Kaf, beginning of chapter 19, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. Thus, these are al-huruful muqatta'at. These are, remember, the mystic letters, the broken letters. Quran Sharif speaks of this, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That there are certain verses in the Quran Sharif, only Allah Ta'ala knows the meaning. And why did Almighty Allah reveal it? As a test and a trial for humanity and posterity. And وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْإِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ أَمَّنَّا بِهِ. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they will say, we bring iman on it. But what they will go? They will go and look for meaning. Why? Ibtigha al-fitnati wa ibtigha ta'wili. So these are the people, Quran says, fi qulubim zayghun. They have deviation, they have nifaq, hypocrisy in their their hearts. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 7. So look at what he says. Kaf Karbala. Ha Halakat. Ya Yazid. Ain, he say Atshan. That the thirst of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. And Swad Sabri Hussein radiallahu anhu. What did Sayyidina Hussein say about you Shias? What did he say? Go to Sayyidina Hussein. Wallahi, I tell you, this is what Sayyidina Hussein said against you, Kuffar Shia. The book is written by Sheikh Mufid. The book's name, Al-Irshad. So it is the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, 61 years after the Hijrah. And it is Maidane Tufuf. I went to all these places with Allah's help, Karbala and all, that where the battle took place. Farafa'a yaday, he raised his hand, said, Hussein radiallahu anhu, wa da'a ala shi'atihi. He made bad du'a. He cursed the Shias and said, Ya Allah, Allahumma in matta'atahum fafarriqhum firaqa. Ya Allah, if you give them long life, then make them into groups, and that. Wa la tardal wulatu anhum abada. Never let the rulers be happy and pleased with them. Let them fight. Skopskit and Donner, see what's happening in Lebanon, see what's happening in Iran, see what's happening in Syria, all controlled by the Shias. So the Kuffar, they can never, just like the Jutlas, because you must remember that it is written in Rijalul Kashi, they admit that the founder of Shiaism was Abdullah bin Sabah, a Jew. How the Jews can never find peace, always Allah Ta'ala will punish them, Quran says, chapter 7, verse 166. So these Shias are the same. They're the Aulad of the Yahud. Remember that. They are followers of the Jews. So that is number two. Third one, so they say Karbala. So Sayyidina Hussein, what he said? He cursed them. And then he got martyred. What did Sayyidina Hussein's son, Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah, he is a survivor of Karbala. He is an eyewitness to Karbala. And he told them, you Shias, you took the oath and the pledge on my father. ثُمَّ تَرَكْتُمُوهُ فَخَذَلْتُمُوهُ. Then you left my father and then you fought against him. Tomorrow, بِأَيِّ عَيْنٍ تَنْزُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. How will you face the Master عليه الصلاة والسلام tomorrow? وَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَكُمْ. And he will tell you, قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَتِي. You murdered my Nawasa, you murdered my grandson, O you Kuffar Shia, and qataltum idrati, and then in front is mentioned, falastum min ummati, you are not part of this ummah, you are out. Is in your kitab, is written in Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. Third one, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's daughter, his mother, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and this is Fatima Sughra, she's an eyewitness to Karbala, and what she said, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, O you Kuffar Shias, what you did, that qataltum abi, kama qataltum jaddi, you killed my father today, and you are the same people who killed and murdered my dada, my grandfather Sayyidina Ali also. And she cursed them. Tabbalakum wa la'natullah alaykum. Allah destroy, decimate you, and Allah curse you. You know what they did? They read poetry in front of her. And it's in your kitab. We got the kitab and we'll show it to you. Go to your internet, you will see it. Ihtijaj of Tabrasi. They said, قَتَلْنَا عَلِيًا وَبَنِي عَلِيٍ بِسُيُوفٍ هِنْدِيَةٍ وَرِمَاحِ. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Ali. Allah forbid. Yes, we murdered the son of Ali, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. We used the swords and the spears made from India. So that is their own admission. So therefore, don't come and tell me you lovers of Hussein, you are the murderers of Sayyidina Hussein, and therefore forever you'll be cursed, and forever Allah Ta'ala is going to punish you. Therefore on 10th Muharram they hit themselves and their blood comes out. That is the curse of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu on them. Allah protect us from the kufr of the Shias and those Maulvis and those people who can't say boldly and proudly and publicly publicly the Shia, the Kufar, so go check your Iman also.
Ustad, quickly, before we pose our final question, sister says, Molana Mufti Sahab, I'm looking for a homely surti girl in her 30s. The boy is a Hafiz and is also financially stable. Ustad.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala give you a nice surti girl from Surat. Staying from Randair. I've been to Randair and Surat and these places. So inshallah, so if you know anybody, then you must contact us. We're not running a mix and match here, you understood? But anyway, where we can help, we will help. And you read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina. The boy is a Hafiz, he's well-to-do, mashallah, and he wants somebody who speaks their tal, who speaks the language also. So mashallah, you know Gujarati, you know Surti and all these things. You want to hear a story, a joke, Maulana?
Gee, Ustad. Please.
Yesterday, one guy phoned me. So he said, Mufti, he's an Urdu guy, right? So he said, I must tell you this joke. So he said, what's the difference between a Surti and a Meman? So I asked him what. So he told me that, you see, that when these Surtis, they meet the angel, then they tell him, Kemche, Kemche. So then the angel brings the chair for them, you understand? And when the Mehman asks, he speaks to the angel, he says, Ki-ai, Ki-ai. So he brings the key of Jannat for them. So one gets the chair and one gets the key to Jannat. So but this is just stories, all fairy tales, but they're just a joke he made, you know.
Ustad, I've got another question from a Christian sister, Shu.
Carry on, carry on.
Hi, good morning. I'm a non-Islamic lady. I have a question that is off the topic. How many wives did King Solomon have? I'm a Christian. I really need an answer on that. And Bible says he was led astray by these women because they were idol worshippers and Jehovah became displeased with him. I like the program they're listening to now. Ustad.
Thank you, my sister. And it's good. You must keep on listening to our program. I'll be back on air, inshallah, at 1:05 to 2 o'clock. So you can listen to that as well today. Sister, when the Bible speaks of Solomon and David, then they speak of hundreds of wives and thousands of concubines and so forth. But we reject the Bible when it goes crooked in the sense that it says that Solomon went astray or David fell in love with that soldier's wife and so forth. So we as Muslims believe every prophet, every messenger is ma'asum, is protected by divine protection. I want you, my sister, to do a quick study, right? You can Google it. You just go to Genesis in the Bible, right? You're speaking of the Bible. And then you put there, and just insert the story of Noah, the story of Lot, L-O-T. And you will see the Bible of today accuses them of committing incest with their daughters because they were drunk. Can any person in their right mind say that a normal person will do that, get drunk and sleep with his daughters, commit incest, let alone a messenger and a Nabi? So we, my sister, we believe every prophet, messenger, whether it is Solomon, peace be upon him, Suleiman alayhi salam, David, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, Noah, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, are selected by Almighty Allah and not elected by people, and they are protected by Almighty Allah from all the forces of wrong and vices. So no wife can come lead them astray. No children can come lead them astray. Satan, Lucifer can't lead them astray because they have divine protection. Therefore, my sister, we say, there are so many different versions. There are so many different versions of the Bible that, remember, even the virgins get confused, my sister. So that is the brief answer. So our time is up. Let me give you the rundown for today, inshallah. 12 o'clock will be news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and then Controlling Anger by Mona Elias Patel. Very good, inshallah, topic. Then 1 o'clock, the Adhan, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 56 to 58, 1:30 to 2, Surah Ibrahim, chapter number 14, verses 5 to 8, 2 to 3, Madrasa on Air, Maha Zaid Khan, 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:30 to 4, in Urdu, Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, going on with the tafsir Tafsir and commentary of Surah Wal-Layli, the Surah before Wad-Duha, and 4 to 5 inshaAllah will be Surah Mulk, the Tafsir of Surah Tabarak by Mawlana Ridwan Kaji, 5 to 7 Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 the repeat of Surah Maryam verses 56 to 58, 7:30 to 8 Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahimullah's advices, 8 to 9 medical file with Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, with Dr. Shabir Hashim, he's speaking about the dental health, mashallah, and then 9 to 9:30 Sheikh Shuaib Maida, and that is after the Isha Adhan, and 9:30 to 10 Mawlana Salman Kaji, 10 to 11 the Sheikh Anwar Awlaki, the series started, mashallah. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah, make dua for all these people who are kidnapped, children, elders. Allah Jalla Wala bring them back safely to their beloved families. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, 4 to 6 As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.